show is sponsored by the Crummy Cookie Dough Company, top-notch humans making top-notch edible cookie dough. Warning, listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to I Am Everything with your host, Shion Atown.
Boom. Boom goes the dynamite. Welcome to the show. I'm Everything. I'm your host, Shion Atown, and we're back. It's a new year. It's a new you. Hopefully. It's a new me. Hopefully. And it's a new us. Hopefully. Hopefully. A lot of hopes right there. But the world would not be the world if we didn't have a little bit of hope, right? So we have a full show ready to go. And, you know how I like to talk and I like to do my talking. However, we are not going to do that right now because I have a special guest, one of my close friends, someone that brought me into the nightlife. Without him, I don't know if I would have survived in Toronto. He helped me. He guided me through rocky paths, through ups and downs. And this is me giving back to him, saying, here, tell me your story. And hopefully we have him on. Hopefully we have him on in person in real life sometime. However, for right now, I would love to introduce my good friend.
We're here with, who are you?
Ha! That's such a loaded question. But we'll just start with, I'm Cassius Denison, founder of lifestyle consulting service, coaching service called Mr. Kaizen.
And what does that mean to you, coaching service? What does that term mean to you?
So not only what it means to me, what I want it to mean to everybody is I help men specifically realize the best versions of themselves. So wherever they're at in life, if they have aspirations, ambitions, or any kind of change that they want to make in a positive direction, I provide the roadmap, so to speak, or I coach them to that goal of the better them.
Nice. And is there like, what would you say is like a requirement to being like a better man usually? Is there like any rule of thumb or?
Well, I have Mr. Kaizen's 7 tenets of being, a better man. It's accountability, it's humility, it's service. Everything should be about being more for your community and not just yourself. But in order to be more for your community, you have to be at your best self. You can't pour from an empty glass. So the whole idea is to make yourself the best, strongest, most resourceful version of yourself, which will enable you to give back or help your community in a better way. And then it becomes a cycling of sort where as you get better, you're putting more into the community, which will also feed you to keep growing. And then it becomes a symbiotic relationship of sorts.
Nice. So where did this all come from? Where did you first start thinking of doing this idea?
I was an image consultant before that. And I worked in the entertainment industry. So I came across a lot of different types of people. I saw a lot of different behavior from men. So I saw some of the challenges guys were having, making it difficult for them with interactions, with even interactions not only with other men, but with women. But what made me take the service in a little bit different direction from just dressing guys and helping them to look better was I lost 2 friends to suicide in the same year. And both were fairly successful guys. They had decent levels of success. they had things, the material things, they had, both were in relationships, but obviously something was missing because they decided they didn't want to be here. And it jolted me from just accepting guys from the exterior and made me more curious to study men at a deeper level than just outward appearance. So the business already existed, but I shifted how I approached it from just, hey, let me help you, you know, look better. I moved it from, hey, let me make you feel better, be better from the inside. And then we can dress according to how you're feeling versus trying to hide behind the trappings of clothing. So that's when, you know, I studied life coaching and really invested the time to study. It led me on a path where I didn't know that, you know, one in four men or you know, three men will commit suicide every day or every hour, I should say. The stats are crazy when it comes to that. Men are struggling on levels that they never show because we're always taught to keep that quiet. You know, you're a warrior. Warriors don't cry. Warriors don't show feelings. They just get through it. And sometimes you can't get through it. So if you can't share it, if you feel there's a shame to sharing it, then what do? You just figure that the only alternative, the only way out is to end it. And I wanted to be a force to prevent that, to stop that, to do my part to change that. And that's what led the business in the direction that it now is.
And this year has been probably harder for a lot of people. Have you found that with some of your clients, they've been struggling this year versus any other year?
Exponentially. It has revealed more things from them, not just them, even with myself, about things that you didn't even realize were issue points or trouble points. Everything from the isolation, from not being able to escape in the ways that you were escaping. And that's what a lot of us does. We use different, whether it's, you know, always being out, always socializing, because when we're left alone, then the only thing we got to face is our own demons. And a lot of us run away from facing those demons. So this period has revealed a lot more issues, weaknesses, things that need to be corrected than any other period, because we have been, well, locked down, literally and emotionally and mentally. Right. And it has made many of us come to grips with the different things that we're not addressing.
Well, I was thinking that in this kind of case, either you could fight through it, and it's probably one of the challenging times, but most uplifting times, or it's going to be the opposite, where you realize you can't fight what's in your head, and you know, you look to other methods.
You will always be, your negative self will always be undefeated if you try to just fight through it, because it knows all your weaknesses. So it knows how to win and beat you every single time. So you have to get your positive side and your positive mindset better than your negative mindset. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can do that is by working through it, which, you know, I recommend everybody should have a support system, a coach, just somebody that you can lean on when those weak feelings come, because they will come. They come all the time. It's a constant attack. Now, how you deal with it is where you are, what I like to say, elevating your style of life, where you're being better. You're being your best self. When you see the triggers coming, you'll start seeing the triggers coming before they trigger you. Right. And when you're able to see something coming, it's like a car accident. You know, if you can see the truck barreling down on you, you can swerve, you can, you know, stop, you can do something to prevent that impact. It's the same way when you understand the things that trigger you. When you understand your weaknesses, it's better, you're better able to overcome them. Right. But if all you're doing is every time they hit you, you try to hit back, you're gonna get punched up for sure. It's a guarantee.
So how have you been handling this crisis?
Like I said, for me, and I have my own coach that I talk to on a regular basis, because, you know, for me to be a better coach, I also have to be better, be getting better every day. It has revealed a lot of things that I didn't think I wasn't addressing, because I'm always working. I'm always out socializing. I'm always interacting. And you think you're fine until you're left again, locked down. No distractions.
Yeah.
And now you're just looking at yourself, because there's only so many movies you can watch on Netflix. There's only so many series you can watch before you start having the thoughts of, what am I doing with my life? Where's my life going? What's the next step? What's the next goal? And then you realize, well, no, I don't really want that. I really want this.
Right.
You know, sometimes we get caught up in a routine that covers the things that we want to have, but it's not satisfying our soul. You know, we do it because it pays the bills. It allows me to eat at the restaurants I want to eat with, or, you know, buy friends the things that I want to buy, that kind of thing.
Right.
But your soul is not being fed. And if your soul is not being fed, true happiness cannot be had. You're just in the routine of, well, this is what I'm going to do. This is my Monday routine, my Tuesday routine, you know? So it has helped me realize certain things that I had in my life I certainly didn't need. I've shed a lot of things from habits, from people, from routines that really weren't serving me. They were just habits.
Right. And we're going to touch on more of what you used to do, or even like where you're raised and all that, but because it's your show, you get to pick a song. So what song would you like me to play?
Well, my favorite artist is Jay-Z, point blank. So the first track would have to be Success from the American Gangster soundtrack.
And what about this track resonates with you?
Everything about the track. First of all, the movie was amazing because it was Denzel Washington. But even the opening of the song, where the breakdown, the intro, and you have the Italian mobster talking about what you think success is, and that alone, and then when you listen to Mr. Carter's lyrics, it epitomizes how most men try to get success in life, and that's why I love that song.
You're gonna become unsuccessful. Right, that's what I've wanted. Be unsuccessful too, and we're gonna have friends.
I got these niggas, Breezy. Don't worry about it. Let that bitch breathe. I used to give a fuck, now I give a fuck less. What do I think of success? It sucks, too much stress. I guess I blew up quick, cause friends I grew up with see me as a preemie, but I'm not, and my nuts big. I don't know what the fuss is, my career is illustrious. My rep is impeccable, I'm not to be fucked with shit. Let that bitch breathe. I'm way too important to be talking about extorting. Asking me for a Porsche is like asking for a coffin. Broad daylight, I off your on switch. You're not too bright. Good night, long kiss. Bye-bye, my reply. Blah, blah. Blast burner and pass burner to ta-ta. Finish my breakfast, why? I got an appetite for destruction and you're a small fry. Now where was I? Let that bitch breathe. I used to give a shit, now I don't give a shit more. Truth be told, I had more fun when I was pissed poor. I'm pissed off. And this is success all about. A bunch of niggas acting like bitches with big mouths. All this stress, all I got is this big house. Couple cars, I don't bring half of them shits out. All the say spade I drank just to piss out. I mean, I like the taste, could've saved myself 6 hours. How many times can I go to Mr. Chow's? Towels, no boo. Hold up, let me move my bowels. I'll shit on y'all niggas. OG, tell these boys.
I ain't got shit on my nigga.
I got watches I ain't seen in months. Apartment at the Trump, only slept in once. Niggas said hover was over, such dummies. Even if I fail, I land on a bunch of money. Y'all ain't got nothing for me. Nas, let that bitch breathe.
Success, McLaren, women staring. My villain appearance, sacred blood of a king in my vein ain't spilling. Ghetto Othello, sugar hero mellow, Camaro driven. I climax from paper, then ask why is life worth living? Is it the hunt for the shit that you want? To receive great, but I lust giving. The best jewelers wanna make my things. I make Jacob shit on the range just to make me a chain. Niggas mentioned the one love, came home the paper in hand. They gotta brag about the feds, young man. Old cribs I sold, y'all drive by like monuments. Google Earth knows I got flats in other continents. Worst enemies wanna be my best friends. Best friends wanna be enemies, like that's what's in. But I don't give a fuck, walk inside the lion's den. Take everybody's chips, bout to cash them in. Up your catalog, dog, mine's worth too much. Like Mike Jack's ATV park, Matola can't touch. Let this bitch breathe. Let this bitch breathe.
So let's start with the beginning. Where were you from? How were you raised? And what brought you to Toronto?
Originally from Philadelphia, or Philly, however you want to phrase it. I was raised in being accountable was a big part of how I was raised. The values that I try to live up to now are the values that were taught in my household. Accountability, presentation, not only thinking of self all the time, and being useful. Those were the things that were taught to me. And I still hold on to those values to this day. I came to Toronto pursuing furthering my sports career, and it ended in Toronto. But I ended up falling in love with a person in the city, which led me to fall in love with the city. And I ended up staying. I thought I was only going to be here for 2 years, and it's well over that now. So here we are.
Do you miss Philadelphia, like the hustle there, or like is it different from the Toronto hustle, or like what's the lifestyle there versus?
It's vastly different from the Toronto hustle, and of course you always miss home. Mm-hmm. As much as Toronto has now become my home, I still think of you know that's where the fam is, that's where everything is, the things that formed me and taught me, the things that I carry through to this day. So it will always be home. And the hustle is definitely different. The mentality, as most know in America, is get money by any means necessary.
Right.
And sure, some of that mentality is here in Toronto, but it's not the same kind of aggressive, no holes barred hunger. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a ruthlessness that is a part of the hustle, as you called it, in Philly, and here it's a little bit more laid back and a little bit more polite, even if they're picking your pockets.
Yeah. So, what about like Toronto? The Toronto scene kind of reflects. If you could. What does the Toronto scene reflect you and your style? Like, how do you incorporate what you're doing now? Do you reach out to specific people in different areas that you couldn't get anywhere else in the world? Or
repeat the question. Let me make sure I understand it before I try to answer.
What about Toronto? Like living in Toronto reflects in your day to day operations. Like, would you be able to do what you're doing now in other places? And how
definitely the business is, or the concept of the business is transferable. There's always going to be men that are wanting to improve. What I like about Toronto is there is what makes Toronto more interesting. It is a very conservative city, surprisingly. People are not quick to jump on trends. They're not quick to change. So the challenge is a little bit more interesting to getting guys to from everywhere, from changing habits to how they dress, everything. So Toronto is I always call it a metropolitan, a teenage metropolitan. Mm. You know, it aspires to be, you know, some aspects of New York and LA and Chicago, but it isn't there yet. But it has the potential to be there. And folk are waking up to wanting to still hold that Toronto great diversity mentality, but to incorporate some of the better things that come from those other popular cities. So that's what I like about Toronto. It hasn't fully realized its full potential yet. So while I'm here, I'm trying to be a part of grooming that realization of the full potential.
What do you say to people that say, it doesn't have to be Toronto, but what do you say to people who say like suits are out? It's more about wearing something loose fitting. Like, we don't do suits anymore. What do you say to that kind of mindset?
I would laugh first. And then I don't know, maybe in the future when we're dressing like folk from Star Trek. But for our society now, suits will always represent a level of success, a level of sophistication, a level of, I'll put it to you like this. I don't care how popular Yeezys have been, how popular Jordans have been, all that. If the society we live in now, as it's constructed now, not the version we wish it to be or want it to be, as it stands now, walking in a bank in a suit is going to get you a better reaction than walking in a bank in some Supreme, some Yeezys, some Jordans, and you know, outfitted in those kind of dresswear. Unless you're famous, then they'll recognize your face.
Right.
But if you are not famous, the suit is a barrier breaker,
right?
Because certain assumptions are made about men that show up in suits. They assume you're sensible, educated, employed. There are certain assumptions that goes with a suit. So for that reason alone, suits will never go out of style. There's a reason why the suit is it's seen as the you're going to a job interview, unless, you know, you're going to a retail store where you want to be fashion forward. Right. But if you're going for a corporate job, a suit is required. Funeral, a suit is required. At weddings, a tuxedo or a suit is required. Unless you're getting married in a part of the world or that, it's different.
Yeah.
But in North America and most of Europe, a suit is a symbol of a man either successful or on his way to success. So that isn't going to go out of style anytime soon. I don't care what the trends are. Now, the style of the suit, the colors of the suit, those kind of things might differ or vary. But the suit itself is, it's as they say, that old dog that you can't get rid of. It's a thoroughbred and it's going to keep going.
Yeah. You should come down to Waterloo sometime. I feel like a lot of people will need your help here.
Hey, I'm open to go wherever I can help. That services is what I realize is how I want to spend the rest of my life. Is if I can help someone be better, that to me is gratifying and satisfying, and it's what gets me up every day. So whether it's Waterloo, Kingston, wherever, I'm willing to. My costume, but I'm willing to go.
It's a real life G's to gents here.
There's what? Sorry.
The real life G's to gents.
There you go.
Old MTV show.
There you go.
Well, if you do come down to Waterloo, you could check out my sponsors. They have some good cookies going on. It's raw cookie dough.
I love cookies. Those are some of my favorite snack foods.
you can bake them, but I usually don't. I usually just like eat them raw. It's like they're called Crumbly Cookie Company. Oh, so
you do the cookie dough that you make yourself. I like that.
They buy, you have it in a jar, and there's different flavors, and you could just eat it. You don't have to cook it or anything. Yeah, Crummy Cookie Company. They're blowing up. They're one of the first raw cookie dough places in this area, and they're run by two powerful women. And yeah,
are they
actually
available in Waterloo?
I think you can get it online, but actually, you like this because it's the diner, or not diner, but the business looks like it's 1960s. But they play like Jay-Z. They play like hip hop. You wouldn't even expect. You walk in, you're like, okay, this is some. I'm getting some.
I like the concept. Here. I like that.
And then left field. Right. So that's
the old with the new. I like it.
Yes. So one day when you're up here, we'll try some flavors and you can give your opinions on that.
Sounds good. I'm down for it.
But in terms of Toronto, so you know, you were a promoter, and you know, I remember in my life, 2015, 2016 was a good time because that was like peak club time. I think like 2-3 months ago, I went down to Toronto. I was on King Street. Man, it was really sad. I just was like, what's going on here? It's just like desolated. There was like, this was like in the summer. I was like, what? So, I mean, how much has it changed for you, in the past 4 or 5 years? And,
the city, I feel, has actively been trying to kill the entertainment scene in Toronto for unknown reasons. Makes no sense to me. They are such on a fast track to accept the money from the corporations that want to build these ugly condo buildings everywhere. And they keep making these really bad decisions of trying to kill nightlife.
Right.
And what they fail to realize is that people need to let loose. They need having fun and partying and all that stuff is something that people need at different points in their life. And when you try to stop it, kill it, either you're going to push it underground where it can't be regulated and can't be kept safe the way it should, or you're creating a vacuum that is not good for society on a whole. That's just my personal belief. I've watched them. They took away people being able to drive on King Street in that area, which is one of the busiest areas in the city. Not only is it good for tourism and money, but the employment it offers from the bartenders, the chefs, the cooks, how all those people that are involved in that industry. They were already trying to choke them out for some unknown weird reason. I can only assume because the corporations buy off these city planners and, you know, get them to okay ugly condo buildings everywhere, which is ruining the aesthetic of the city, in my opinion. But yeah, and then the pandemic hit, and they vilified all the restaurants for no real known reasons. And again, I'm very pro take this, the COVID and the lockdown situation seriously. But like the argument most people make, if you can walk around in Walmart with most of the restaurants, and I have a lot of friends that own restaurants and cafes and stuff like that, they spend a lot of money trying to go with the city guidelines to make the places more safe, with the social distancing and cutting capacity, and you know, all the guys were in the PPP that worked there, all the serving staff, all that. And then you still shut these places down claiming you're trying to control outbreak, but yet I can run around in Walmart and do all I want to do. It doesn't make any sense, you know, in places like Walmart. So they really killed a lot of the small businesses. They took a lot of jobs away from people who, you know, you can't, when you're talking about the service industry, tips is how many of those guys survived. So, you know, sure, the government did something when they did all that, the CERB and all that other stuff, but it can't make up for, and just the activity. I mean, again, I saw the change really take effect when they started to block the streets and they would try to take away licenses for small infractions. I saw it as an active effort to kill the entertainment industry in this city. And I just don't agree with it. And I think it's a detriment to the city, not a blessing. There are so many condo buildings, and most of them are just dastardly ugly. They're smaller boxes that they could have taken them a little bit further out, expanded the city a little bit more instead of taking away areas that a lot of people depend on just for their social life or their well-being.
It's like a double-edged sword. They take these businesses away and make condos, and people can't afford to live in the condos because there's no businesses to work in. And then people can't. And then what happens to the condos? They up the rent, and it just becomes a bitter circle. I think
it's a cannibalistic cycle that makes no sense to me. But I also think we have some of the worst city planners I've ever seen, and I've lived in a few cities in my life. Right. It's just terrible. It's just terrible.
How long do you think until Toronto bounces back from this?
I've been talking with a lot of people about that, and I don't know. I'm really worried about it though, because so many businesses have been killed.
Right.
To revive that whole industry is going to be very difficult, and it's going to be so different because this disease is not going away within a year. It's always going to be lingering. There's always going to be hesitation for the next little while. So even when they open things back up, a lot of people are going to be hesitant to get back out there. So it's not going back. There's no normal that we're going back to. It's going to be a new restart, a reset, if you will.
Right.
And people are going to have to get a lot more creative. Now, I'm confident that because there's so much creativity in the industry and so many people love it and so many people depend on it, they will be creative and bring it in a new way. But when things are going to have a normal, people going out, having fun, socializing, interacting, I don't know when that's going to start or what it's going to look like. I really don't.
In terms of like nightlife and the promoting life, as you were in it, like one of my favorite moments was, I think 2015, 16, when the LeBron shit would happen. Now I don't drink anymore, but I like to, I blame an event called LeBron on that. And I mean, it's good and bad, right? You know, as you would know, we drank so much alcohol at these events. So, I mean, I kind of blame it, but in a sense, I'm like, you know what? I had my fun. Without, I would kind of say, like, in that time span, it was kind of my favorite moments for, like, the nightlife in Toronto. What moments stick with you in terms of the nightlife?
I mean, let's just say my experiences have been a lot more than yours. LeBrunch was one of the famous... The most famous event I had the pleasure of being a part of. I loved it. It was great. We did it I was a part of it for 10 years. So almost as long as I was in the city, I was a part of LeBron. But I have several favorite moments. I think, and again, it goes back because the guy is one of my favorite guys. There was a spot that was a very heavy celebrity spot in an area of the city called Yorkville. And it was a spot which, again, was very famous. It was very high-end. But whenever you walked in there, you could see celebrities. I had the pleasure of being a part of a team that you know, operated and ran the place. Anyways, Jay-Z had one of his, when he came in for the Rihanna Kanye tour, I think it was the Run the World tour. Jay-Z threw him one of his bachelor parties at Lobby. So I got firsthand to meet him and talk to him. That's the first time I met him. I've been to his concerts, but I actually got to meet him, talk with him. And then just the amount of celebrity guests that popped up in the city. They came for the concert, but also for his party. So Jamie Foxx was in town. Of course, Kanye and Rihanna was there. Mark Wahlberg was there. Who else? There was a few unexpected. There was just a lot of celebrities in the room. And it was, the lobby wasn't a big spot, but it was that spot. It was the spot in the city that everybody wanted to get into. There was always a long line up outside, again, because of the celebrity component. So that is absolutely one of my favorite events, was just being in that room and watching them interact. And they were there until about 4 a.m. in the morning.
And you, and also from what I remember, you also met Kobe as well. And that's probably up there for you.
There's the amount of celebrities I've met in my time in the entertainment industry in the city are I've met everybody from Dolly Parton to Oprah to Beyonce to Janet Jackson. I've had those moments where it's like, and I don't get starstruck. Jade and Janet for me are two of the people that literally did have me a little like, whoa. everybody else, it was just kind of like, okay, all right. Yeah, that's cool. But yeah, it was again, most of that took place at Lobby because it was that place. All celebrities, the Toronto Film Festival happened around that area. At that time, it was only in the area of York Film. So Lobby was kind of the go-to place that everybody went to. It was a restaurant slash bar. It was all white, and then it became all black. In terms of the decor, not just the people. and it was just one of those special places that at any given day, whether Wednesday through Sunday, you could walk in there and George Clooney and Brad Pitt would be sitting there having a cup of coffee kind of thing. And then you come back in the night and Paris Hilton bought out the place and she's having her birthday party there. So it was was that kind of a place.
What is it now? What building
is it? It is actually now closed. Nice. Because after the Lobby ran its course, the Gabby, which is a pub style restaurant here, which I found to be just the worst thing. Every time I would walk or drive by there, I'd be very upset that a Gabby's, which is like this burger place, was in there. But because of COVID, they had to close. So now it's empty again. Nice. A friend of mine just actually called me and he's like, we should reopen Lobby. And I'm like, yeah, some things you can't recreate. You just have to leave them in the memory banks. Because when you try to recreate great things, it's very rare that it's successful.
And I think
all the movies they try to recreate now from old movies, most of them are trash.
Right. And I think a lot has to do with the time period too. Like, I'm sure back then was a different time.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was a time where people, Lobby was one of the first places to do bottle service in the city.
Right.
So it was the time where people, guys would be dropping $5,000 in a night. Just, you know, celebrities would be renting it out and they're like, close the doors, we'll spend $50,000 tonight. So it's absolutely a different time. People are more mindful of money and they're not looking to ball out like they're all basketball players or NFL players anymore.
Right. So speaking of Jay-Z, second song, what would you like to
You Don't Know. You Don't Know is a song where he talks about his success at that time. This was early on. At this point, he was the number one rapper. Because I think You Don't Know is from 2001. And he was getting the first taste of success and watching people change around him and talking about what he had. And I don't know if he realized the kind of real success he was going to have. He was already the number one rapper, best-selling rapper. At that point, the Blueprint was just the album. And so, yeah, You Don't Know from the Blueprint 1.
Turn my music high, 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 yeah.
You don't know what you're doing.
Sure I do. I'm from the streets where the hood swallowing me. Bullets are following me. There's so much coke that you could run the slalom. And cops comb the shit top to bottom. They say that we are prone to violence, but it's home sweet home.
where personalities clash and chrome meets chrome. And coke prices up and down like it's Wall Street, homes. But this is worse than the Dow Jones. Your brains are now blown all over that brown brome. One slip, you are now gone. Welcome to hell where you are. Welcome to sell. But when them shells come, you better return them. All scars, we earn them. All cars, we learn them like the back of our hand. We watch for cops hopping out the back of van. Wear a G on my chest, I don't need that, but damn. This ain't a sewn outfit, Holmes, Holmes is about it. Was clapping them flamers before I became famous. For playing me, y'all shall forever remain nameless. I am home. Sure I do. I tell you the difference between me and them. They trying to get they ones, I'm trying to get them M's. 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, four. In just 5 years, 40 million more. You are now looking at the 40 million boy. I'm raping Def Jam till I'm the 100 million man. R-O-C. I swear you're wrong. I came into this motherfucker 100 grand strong. 9 to be exact, from grinding cheap packs. Put this shit in motion, ain't no rewinding me back. Could make 40 off a brick, but one rhyme could beat that. And if somebody would've told him that Ho would sell clothing, not in this lifetime, wasn't in my right mind. That's another difference that's between me and them. I smarten up, open the market up. 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, four. In 18 months, 80 million more. Now add that number up with the one I said before. You are now looking at one smart black boy. Mama ain't raised no fool. Put me anywhere on God's green earth, I triple my worth. Motherfucker, I will not lose. Put something on it. I sell ice in the winter. I sell fire in hell. I am a hustler, baby. I sell water to a well. I was born to get cake. Move on and switch states. Cap the coupe with the roof gone and switch plates. Was born to dictate. Never follow orders, dick face. Get your shit straight. Fucker, this is Big J. Ah.
You don't know what you're doing.
Will not lose ever. Fucker.
I am everything on CKMS 102.7 FM.
So you touched on what you do in terms of your business. You know, you help men go from average to more than average in terms of personality, how to dress. But you also have done clothes, and you also had a clothing store. Talk on that.
Well, I don't have the store anymore, unfortunately, because of COVID.
Right.
So I closed that in May of this year. But for me, again, it was a natural transition. I always studied design. I used to make my own stuff by hand. I'm good with a sewing machine. But a part of the reason I became an image consultant is because I wanted to help men look better. And it's not always about a suit. For me, the suit is the best expression of a well-dressed man. But there's, you know, you can mix and match. And I own Jordans. I own all kinds of different clothing styles. But I wanted to design. I love seeing a great dinner jacket. So I started to design dinner jackets. And that's mostly what I sold at the store. Dinner jackets, tuxedos. But, you know, I also offered a few of the standard suits. But I like to have funky linings, just different things that make you stand out. The term peacocking is a term a lot of guys try to run from. I run towards it. I embrace it. I don't see the need to play a wallflower. I don't think that's what we're put on this earth to do. And our clothing, our style is the best way for us to express our individuality and our uniqueness. And some people go, well, how can you do that with a suit? Well, the color, the cut, the fit, the type of lining you put in, Do you dress it up with a pocket square? What ties, what accessories do you put it on? There's different ways to stand out. I'll tell you right now, I could put the same suit on and have seven other guys put on the same suit. You will still notice me in that suit because of how the confidence I wear it with, but how I accessorize it, it's going to make it stand out. And it could just be a generic gray suit. So that's what drove the clothing line. It's still going now. I've taken it more online. I do more. I go to cut clients' homes to serve them there versus having them come to the shop.
So I guess you live by the motto, you don't, the suit doesn't wear you, you wear the suit.
Always. Right. Always. If you're not feeling confident, then you're not going to be able to pull off a suit. That's why, as I said in the beginning, the Mr. Kaizen service is about getting your mind right and then using the clothes to express the man inside. The clothing is not to hide the man inside. I'm doing the work of making myself better, and here's the expression of that, which is the clothing.
And can you see yourself, would you want to see yourself doing this long term if you could design clothes and have your own clothing line?
All of it for me. So for me, it's my life. There's no, as much as I call it business and work and all that, it's my life. So I always will have a new design idea. I will always want to, I do sketches. I still sketch. I do all that kind of stuff. I love men's clothing. So and the suit for me is the epitome of that. So yeah, as long as I'm drawing breath, I think yes, I will be doing that. The whole, as I said, the concept of the business isn't just, hey, let me do this and see how much money I can make. I really do believe it's my calling. It's how I want to live the rest of my life. I want to, my work now, my contribution now is to help other guys be better, which will, in my mind, make our society better.
Is there any fun stories or a fun story you have in terms of a client coming to you and you being like, I can't help you there? Or, you know, you thinking like this person should be talking to someone else to improve their life?
I've referred to, so there's guys that in talking to them, I realize they need more therapy than coaching because they have some real deep-seated trauma that I am not equipped to help them properly with. So I keep three different types of therapists that are colleagues of mine. And when I see that need, I definitely make those kind of referrals. Funny stuff is when I've had clients, they're like, hey, I hear you're like Hitch and there's this girl I want to get, so can you help me do that? And I'm like, nah, one, I'm not Hitch. I'm not the love doctor, the love guru. I'm not going to teach you tricks to trick a woman into falling in love with you. My service is based on actually making you better in all aspects of your life, which will then make you more attractive. And these other things you want will come through that. But I'm not, I don't have tricks to teach you. I do etiquette training and stuff like that. So you're not at the you know, at the dinner with the girl that's slurping the spaghetti, like soup. But I don't have tricks to, you know, here are some pickup lines that will get a girl to take her panties off within 20 minutes. It's silly to me. Not my service. So I get a lot of those. Most guys, they call me and they're like, nah, I don't need any help in confidence. No, I don't need any help in changing habits. I just want to be able to get these girls. That's cute. I'm not the guy for you. Try to find Hitch. I don't know if Will Smith has a real counterpart out there, but go look him up.
So we're going to do rapid fire questions and give the answer that comes to mind first.
Sorry?
Give the answer that comes to mind first.
Okay, cool. I can do that.
This first one might be a loaded question, but if you could change one thing about Toronto, what would it be?
Oh, wow. if I could change one, the city planners,
right?
I'd fire all of them. Easy. That would be my number. Well, including John Tory. So all of them got to go. They're taking the city in the wrong direction. They're mismanaging a lot of stuff, and they're too driven by corporate money versus what the city should represent, what the people of the city really want. And when you lose that, then you're operating just for capitalism, the worst aspect of capitalism versus what is really good for the city and what is the long-term good of the city. So that would be the thing I'd change about Toronto, if anything.
What is your guilty pleasure?
Oh, geez. What is my guilty pleasure? How many can I list?
As many as you like.
I don't know. I'll keep it PG and say I'm a sucker for waffles and fried chicken.
Who would play you in a movie? Who would you like to play you in a movie?
Who would play me in what now?
Who would you like to play you in a movie?
Oh, geez. Geez. That is a good question. I don't know. I've never even given that any kind of thought. You're going to have to come back to me on that. I can't think of what... I'd have to say my counterpart from Philly, Willie. Will Smith, but... He's
I could see that.
Yeah, that's where I would go. Let's go there. Why not one of the best actors ever?
Of course. What's your favorite underrated spot in Toronto? Whether it's a park, restaurant, bar, cafe?
Well, everything has changed and closed down so much. That's a hard call to make. All the places that I used to love kind of don't no longer exist.
What it used to be before COVID?
Well, that also was closed before COVID. It changed name. Versailles was one of my favorite places. Yes. Yeah, you know, it was Lobby, then Versailles, and then a few other smaller spots. Barrena. Barrena, they're in Yorkville. It's great cocktails. They keep a great vibe. They have great food. Everything about it is just really cool. And the owner is a good friend. So Barrena, because they're still standing.
Right.
And I always, when you go there, you always feel loved. That's important.
Nice. New Year's resolution.
I don't do New Year's resolutions as much as I do affirmations. I look at, again, my goal in life is to keep getting better. So I reflect on what mistakes did I make in 2020 that I need to really improve on. So I reinforce those things or make affirmations about those things. I need to be less judgmental. I need to be more open to change or to people that are changing, those kind of things. Forgiveness right now is one of the things that I struggle with. I'm a you burn me kind of person, and I burn your whole house down. is my philosophy that I'm trying to transition out of. So that isn't a New Year's resolution, it's a life resolution, if you look that way. So that's one thing I'm putting more energy and working on, because it's a real challenge.
And before we say see you later, what song would you like to end the show with?
Even though the second person on this track is trash now, in my opinion. I call him the artist formerly known as Kanye.
Ooh.
But this is Jay and Kanye. It's from one of my favorite albums of all time, which is Watch the Throne. And it's just the track itself is braggadocious, but it also it questions authority, white supremacy, corporatism. Mm. Everything about the song is so blunt, and so I find it very uplifting. Like if I'm having a down day where I'm doubting my gifts and my abilities, Gotta Have It is what I play to motivate myself. So Gotta Have It from the Watch the Throne soundtrack.
Is there any last things you'd like to say, plug to the world?
Of course, I'm going to plug the website, www.meetmrkaizen.com. I offer 20-minute free consultations just for you. We do it over Zoom, obviously, because right now meeting in person is not. So no matter where you are, you can Zoom with me from Waterloo if this reaches your Waterloo audience. I give 20-minute free consultations just for us to chat, see what challenges you're having in life and how I can coach you out of them. And that would be the best plug I can make is the website. Check it out, see what I really do, see all the other different things that I do, and book a free consultation and let's have a chat.
LOLOLOLO, white America assassinate my character. Money matrimony, yeah, they tryna break the marriage up. Who gon' act phony, who gon' try to embarrass ya? I'ma need a day off, I think I call Ferris up.
Bueller had a Mueller, but I switched it for a Miele, cause I'm richer. And prior to this shit, was moving freebase.
Had a conference with the DJs, yeah. Puerto Rico 3 days.
Polly with the PDs, now they got that shit on replay.
Sorry I'm in pajamas, but I just get off the PJ. And last party we had, they shut down Privé.
Ain't that where the heat play?
Yeah.
Niggas hate ballers these days.
Yeah. Ain't that like LeBron James?
Ain't that just like D-Wade? Wait.
What you need?
What's up, motherfucker? Where my money at? You gon' make me come down to your house where your mommy at? Mommy rap the kids, have them crying for they mommy back. Tell me that your daddy is. Tell him I just want my racks.
Racks on racks on racks.
Racks.
Made backs on backs on backs on backs on backs.
Who in that?
Oh shit, it's just blacks on blacks on blacks. 100 stack.
How you kidding?
Nigga laying raps on tracks.
I wish I could give you this feeling. I'm planking on a million. I'm riding through your hood. You can bet I ain't got no ceiling.
Made a left on Ocean Ave.
Right.
We in Bed-Stuy.
Made a right on 79th. I'm coming down South Shore Drive.
I was made in Chi-Town.
Brooklyn to our top.
Check. We're just gonna go back into that. All right.
Turn my headphones up.
So. Thanks for joining me tonight. I'm Sean A-Town. This was I'm Everything. Thanks to Crummy Cookie Company for sponsoring me. Every show. Big up. This is what I'm gonna do. We're just going to go out with this song. We went in with this song. We're going to go out with this song. Know what I mean? Thanks, guys, for listening to me every single week. We're going to do this every single week. Anyways. I'll see you next week. Let's listen to this. So smooth. Hit it, Kanye.
LOLOLOLO, white America assassinate my character. Money matrimony, yeah, they tryna break the marriage up. Who gon' act phony, who gon' try to
embarrass you. I'ma need a day off, I think I called Ferris up.
Bueller had a Mueller, but I switched it for a Miele, cause I'm richer. And prior to this shit was moving freebase.
Had a conference with the DJs, yeah. Puerto Rico 3 days.
Polly with the PDs, now they got that shit on replay.
Sorry I'm in pajamas, but I just get off the PJ. And last party we had, they shut down Privé.
Ain't that where the Heat play?
Yeah.
Niggas hate ballers these days.
Yeah. Ain't that like LeBron James?
Ain't that just like D-Wade? Wait.
What you need?
What you need?
What you need?
What you need?